Hello and a warm welcome to another Inside VC podcast from Digital Compact. My name is Joel Kaczmarek and next to me is Christian. Hey, Christian.
Hey, Israel. Hi.
This time we're about to talk about convertibles, convertible loans. Starting off like right with the definition, what is a convertible for a founder that has never heard of it?
The way I would frame it is you basically get a loan into the company, but you would likely normally expect that you have to pay back a loan over time. Here, the difference, and hence the term convertible, is that the expectation is that at some point and at some price, the loan gets converted into equity. So you're basically using a loan to put money in the company quickly with the expectation that ultimately it will be part of an equity transaction.
Übrigens mal, wo ich hier fleißig den Podcast die ganze Zeit moderiere und Fragen stelle, ich mache mir ja auch Notizen teilweise vorher und währenddessen und da habe ich einen kleinen spannenden Produkttipp für euch von unserem Partner Wacom. Wacom schreibt sich W-A-C-O-M und zwar das Bamboo. Bamboo wie Englisch Bambus. Das ist ein Smartpad. Wenn ihr jetzt fragt, okay, was ist denn ein Smartpad? Ihr könnt euch das so ein bisschen vorstellen wie ein Klemmbrett, wo ihr einen Block einspannen könnt und könnt dann mit einem Kugelschreiber von Wacom, der mitgeliefert wird, darauf schreiben. Ihr macht euch Skizzen, schreibt euch Dinge auf, Notizen, was ihr wollt und müsst dann nur auf einen Knopf drücken und habt eure gesamte Skizze, Zeichnung, euren Text mit einem Mal in der App digital verfügbar. Das könnt ihr dann als PNG exportieren, als PDF. Ihr könnt daraus sogar eine Vektorgrafik machen und euch das selber zuschicken. Es kann sogar Ink-to-Text, also ihr könnt das aufschreiben und habt eine Texterkennung drin. Das ist wirklich super cool, finde ich, für Menschen, die eigentlich gewohnt sind, digital zu arbeiten, aber nicht darauf verzichten möchten, auch mal haptisch ein bisschen dabei zu sein, indem man sich zum Beispiel Zeichnungen macht. Also schaut euch das mal an. Wacom Bamboo, ich finde das wirklich cool. Wir nutzen das auch für die Podcasts. Als kleiner Tipp am Rande. Before we speak about the terms and how it is done, the mechanics, let's say, what are the situations where you use these? Because I had the impression that especially business angels in Berlin started to think about convertible loans because this is a nice instrument of getting started quite fast and having the possibility of asking for your money back or investing in the company really directly. When do you use a convertible normally? What's the situation you would use it?
Yeah, so there are a couple of different situations. I think, you know, the first one you already alluded to, which is in the seed stage, it is often done because really of two reasons. One, it's very simple to document. You really only need a couple pages of documents. It is very easy to implement and you can close it on a rolling basis. So you can say, you know, I have an open convertible note and I'm just adding people to it. As I close them, they can wire the money. You know, I sign the documents and I accumulate a certain amount of money up to a maximum that I typically set in the beginning and can do that on a rolling basis, which is hard to do with equity. The other big reason why it's very often used is that you don't have to have any of the investors set a price for your business and attach a valuation, because that is very often hard in the beginning. And some of the people you may raise the money from may not be used to putting a valuation on those businesses. And so in the absence of a strong lead that does that, it is sometimes just easier to say, hey, you know, we start with this note. And then once somebody does put a price on the business and leads an equity round, it gets converted. And we can talk about, you know, how those mechanic works. That's really the one situation that you where you often see convertibles being used. The other situations is what is sometimes also referred to as a bridge or bridge note, where you have a company that's already raised a financing round and for whatever reason doesn't want to go out and raise the next round before money runs out. And so one way to bridge this financing gap is to put in a convertible loan, give the company additional runway, additional time before it goes out and raises another equity round. And then that money gets converted in the next equity round and has effectively served as, you know, an intermediate financing for that period between the money running out from the previous round and the new money coming in from the next round.
So we had these two situations where you use a convertible, and as you said, the advantages are basically it's helpful for speed, it's easy to implement, and if you do not want to set a pricing, then this is a helpful tool. What do you consider disadvantages of a convertible note?
The disadvantages are that ultimately you have a loan sitting in the business. So from the founder's perspective, you know, that gives a very strong leverage to the investors when no equity round is in sight, because they can technically ask for their money back, you know, which you typically, you know, cannot pay back, because most of these businesses don't have positive cash flows from which they could really literally pay back the loan. So where you have to be careful is if things don't go as planned, and let's say you have, you know, a period of 1 year on the loan or something like that, and then it becomes due, you may end up in a situation that's a little ugly, because you haven't had anyone to price the round. And then either you have some kind of typically low default conversion price apply, or you can have a very unpleasant conversation around, you know, hey, we're obviously not in a situation to pay you back, so we have to figure out a valuation at which we convert. And with the absence of an outside third party putting that price on the business, that's just not a good conversation to have. So I think that's one thing you really want to be very careful about. And I think the other disadvantage is that it's a tool that, you know, not everyone likes, because some people just want to have clarity about the price that they go in. So, you know, they may not consider a convertible and just want to do a priced round. So that's clearly the other scenario. And that's for seed. I think for the bridge round, the tricky part is a little bit more, you want to have a very good explanation as to why you're doing a bridge and why that actually is not the result of you not having been able to attract additional funding and therefore sending a negative message, which then, you know, sometimes is reflected in some of the terms in the bridge. And so you want to be careful about having the right optics there. And, you know, you just want to be able to explain very well why you're using a bridge, and, you know, still having a business that is fundamentally attractive for people to invest in.
A young founder may ask now, if my company becomes a fuck up, like if it's really not working and I'm closing it down, shutting it down, in convertible loan, there's the word loan. And usually if you go to a bank and ask for a loan, you need to pay it back afterwards, in difference to venture capital, which you do not have to, because this is, as it said, it's a venture capital, right? How about convertibles? Do I have to pay them back if the company fucks up?
No, so that's the good news. The loans are given to the company, and so at least in my experience, I've never seen personal liability. So while banks sometimes ask you to give personal guarantees against a loan that you take out for a business that you own, I've never seen that done in venture, and I honestly would not consider it fair. And we would ask for that to be waived if we ever were to invest in a company where, you know, something like that was in place. No, the loan is given to the company. If the company becomes insolvent, you know, you have the typical hierarchy. And typically, actually, this type of loan is something where you immediately give other debtors precedent. So in Germany, it is called Rangrücktritt. So you put the loan from a structural, you know, perspective behind other claims so that the company is not automatically insolvent, because otherwise you could create a situation where you put the money in the company as soon as it's getting started to get used up by operational burn, the company is technically insolvent. So you want to, you know, have just a special term for that in there to accommodate that. And beyond that, no, it's tied to the fate of the company. If the company does well, it's okay. And if not, you know, it's a loss.
Mm-hmm. Now, then let's dive into the mechanics of convertible notes. I think a founder can hardly imagine that an investor will give you money and then waits for the crystal ball or in front of his crystal ball to ask for a pricing afterwards. How does it work?
That's really the key, because, I mean, one thing you got to remember is sort of venture capital is fundamentally an equity instrument. You take the risk, you pay a price for the shares, and you then fully participate in the upside because you're aligned with the founder's debt. On the opposite side is a tool where you traditionally only give money to people where you expect them to actually pay it back. Didn't work so well in the housing bust, but typically that's what debt is, you know, meant for. On the flip side, you don't participate in the upside. If you have given debt to someone who became extremely successful or became a mediocre company but stayed alive, you're not going to make more or less money, where on the equity, it's the exact opposite, right? So you're bridging sort of two very different financial instruments, and they're really two key terms that allow people who really want to be on the equity side of, you know, the river to start on the debt side. And those are basically dictating how the conversion, how the crossing of the river happens. And what you need is someone to come in within a defined period of time to do what is then defined as a qualified financing. And so that is usually a financing round, an equity financing round of a minimum volume, you know, can be $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, whatever stage the company is at. And an independent third party puts in, you know, that money at a certain price. And then you convert your loan into equity at the same terms as that independent party with usually a discount. So that discount can be 20%, 25%, 30%, maybe 10%. It really depends on how long that loan has been sitting in the company. Because effectively what has been happening is the company has been using your money that you put in with a loan for building enterprise value, for developing the business, for growth. Now, that growth is what the new investor pays a higher price for than you really should have paid as the one who gave the loan 3 months back, 6 months back, 9 months back. So, you know, if you gave the loan 3 months ago, maybe the growth in enterprise value isn't that dramatic and, you know, a smaller discount is appropriate. If you gave the loan 9 months ago and you started with a guy in a PowerPoint and now there is a product, you know, you should probably have a significant discount. And so the discount rate depends on typically the time that has passed since the loan was given. And sometimes investors also ask for what's called a cap. So let's say you have a 10 million conversion cap. What it means is if somebody steps in and says, I'm going to invest at a 20 million pre and you have a discount rate of 20%, you should really convert your shares theoretically at a price of 60 million, right? So 60 million enterprise value, 20 million minus 20%. Now, if you don't think that's fair because you really helped start the company, you have that cap in place where you say it is whatever the price the outsider says, minus 20%, but in no event more than, let's say, 10 million pre-money, if that is, or valuation, if that's the cap that you've put in place. So you can kind of make sure that if either somebody crazy comes around who pays a price that you think is just completely inappropriate, or you think your bridge is going to, or your convertible is going to sit in there for building substantial enterprise value compared to when you put it in, then it's appropriate to put in this cap in addition to the discount.
I think it's probably also possible to combine these two, right?
Yes. Yeah. So that's routinely done. So you typically say, I have a discount, but the cap is at X. So you basically, in situations where somebody comes in at a price that's lower than your cap, you just apply the discount rate. And then at one point, you know, as the valuation sort of goes up, the discount crosses the level of the cap and then it kind of stands still there. So that's why it's called a cap, right? So then you would never under any scenario pay more or convert at a price that's higher than the cap price.
What about interests? I mean, loans usually come with interests.
Yeah. I mean, not so much these days anymore, but on high-risk loans, absolutely. And so, yes, there is usually some interest. And very often, even if an investor wants to give it to you without interest, they cannot, because there, you know, there are certain regulatory rules as to a minimum interest that you have to charge, given just the way that, let's say, the asset class is structured. And so, however, what you typically do is this interest doesn't get paid. It gets accrued. So it gets basically added to the loan amount. And then when it's time to convert, you convert the interest alongside the principal amount that has been paid in.
And what is typically here?
So typically it gets converted. Oh, you mean the interest rate? It varies quite a lot. I would say it varies probably between 5 and 15%. So the range is pretty big.
Yeah, that's rather attractive in comparison to invest into housing.
Absolutely. On the other hand side, I mean, to be honest, it really doesn't move the needle so much because you only have it sitting in there for a few months, typically. And also, I mean, it's all about the risk profile and the valuation. You know, if the deal ultimately gets done at 10 pre or 20 pre, that's what makes a huge difference. If you got, you know, 5-6% of interest per month, that's a nice add-on, but you're taking the fundamental risk if there is going to be a financing round. And that's really, you know, the big watershed moment if that really comes around.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense. What is the time frame of a convertible, by the way? Like typically, how long does the money stay in the company before it is turned, or the concept is turned into equity?
Yeah, so I think in seed situations, it can be up to, let's say, a year. It really depends, but it can be relatively long because you don't have a high burn in the beginning and you really want to create a milestone that allows somebody to price the equity and, you know, maybe raise a Series A. If it is more the bridge type financing where you want to cover the gap between two financing rounds, you're typically looking more at 3 to 6 months of runway.
Now, what happens if a change of control is in play? It happens.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. So one thing you want to make sure as an investor, and I sometimes see that people don't actually think of that here in Germany, it's a standard term in the US. You want to be sure that if the company gets sold, then the buyer or the company doesn't just pay you back the money. So assume you finance a seed deal, that thing does very well and has a nice exit. Then you want to have some kind of conversion prior to the exit. So, you know, you want to have a term that we call no prepay, or a, you know, conversion at the option of the loan holder that basically just allows you at a price that you determine when you, you know, either sign the loan document or at least you put in a mechanism. So again, with a discount or something like that for determining a price to convert your loan into equity so that you can then really benefit from the exit as if you had made an equity investment. Because again, remember, the loan structure is really only a tool to do something quickly and efficiently that's meant as an ultimately as an equity instrument.
Are there also situations where it becomes possible that a founder says, hey, I would like to do a prepay in general because there's so much interest from American VCs or in general from VCs. I'm really overwhelmed by this. And I think that your value you created isn't big enough or the valuation cap we spoke about isn't fair. I would like to pay back your money.
Yeah, so pay back as opposed to having you convert in the round. Yes, that can happen. And then you've had a bad lawyer. So as investor, because you want to make sure that doesn't happen. So if you're taking the risk of financing the company through a period where there is no other capital available for whatever reason, you want to be able that if things turn out well, that you can convert into equity and you can ride the upside as opposed to get your money back plus, you know, a couple of percent of interest. So you clearly want to have the right to convert at such a qualified financing event. You may, depending on how it's negotiated, not have to convert. You know, if let's say the bridge is small compared to the ultimate raise, for whatever reason, you may want to ask for your money back, assuming that, you know, for example, you're already very happy with the ownership you have in the company. You've already put in a lot of capital, whatever the reason may be. So you might want to retain that optionality of being able to ask for it back if the situation allows. But you clearly want to be sure that you cannot be shut out from converting.
Now, there's another debt instrument some founders may have heard of, which is called debt financing. I think we should have a note here, or a small sentence about this as well, because convertible loans do not have to do anything with debt financing in the classical way, as some big players do in later stage. Maybe one sentence about this.
Debt financing, or venture debt, as you typically call it, that's sort of a financial instrument that wants to stay on the debt side of the river, so to speak. So it really kind of is a bit of a hybrid between what a bank would do and what VCs would do, in the sense that it is structured more similar to a classical loan that you would get from a bank with, you know, monthly payback and, you know, the ultimate goal of just getting the money back plus interest as opposed to converting it to equity, right? Why I say it also has elements of a VC is because sometimes there are, you know, some parts of the whole deal, of the venture debt deal, where they ask for a little bit of equity as a kicker, or, you know, there are other mechanisms that you typically wouldn't see in a bank loan. But venture debt basically covers the gap between VCs, where they give you money for the equity upside. And you obviously have to suffer dilution as a founder from that, but you get money in situations where you just cannot prove that you will be able to pay it back, right? That's the whole business model of the VC. The bank, on the flip side, is never going to give you money unless you can really prove them that you're going to pay it back. Or maybe you tell them, okay, you can take my house as a guarantee, which, as I said before, you don't want to do. So if your business is mature enough for that, then venture debt is potentially the right choice, because they have some terms that allow them to give you a loan at a time when maybe there is a path to profitability, but you're far from having the numbers that, you know, the local bank would ask you for.
I think it makes sense to speak about this because it may be confusing for especially first-time founders or younger founders. Now, you sit here because you're an investor and we're interested in your view, of course. How does an investor see convertible notes? If a company pops up in your deal flow and says, hey, Christian, we would like to have your money to do this and that, change the world. What's your view if you see, okay, these guys took convertible notes in this and that phase? Is it more a positive signaling or a negative one?
It really depends on the situation that the company is in. It can be a sign of positive momentum, of investors wanting to go in quickly and sort of, you know, just securing their participation in a financing round, regardless of where ultimately the price comes out. So it can be positive or it can be a sign of weakness because you know that, you know, the company has only been able to secure financing for a short period of time and hasn't been able to attract more money. So that's up to interpretation. Obviously, founders are always inclined to make you believe is the first, even if it is the latter. You learn to read between the lines, you know, by experience and, you know, make that determination. But so I would say it is neither by default positive or negative. It depends on what situation we think the company is actually currently in.
Summing it up, we had the advantages of being speedy, of having it like easy to implement, no pricing in the beginning. Then we had the disadvantages of having a investor with the leverage. It's also an unclear situation and sometimes negative signaling. What would you recommend to young founders or to founders in general? Is there a rule of thumb regarding convertibles, which you say, I mean, also, especially in Germany, you have the, as far as I know, the Hightech Gründerfonds, which still uses convertible notes as a financing instrument. When do these things make sense for founders and when don't they?
That's a very good question. Again, unfortunately, a little difficult to answer sort of globally. I mean, I think it depends on the type of investors you're talking to. If you are talking to a set of investors that each do write a relatively small check and you end up raising, you know, from 5 or 10 people without a clear lead, then thinking about a convertible may be a very good idea because you can get these people over the line much more quickly when you just say, look, if you fundamentally like what we're doing, just invest in the convertible and somebody down the road is going to price it in a fair way and you get the benefit of a discount. That allows people who are not used to setting up a valuation to quickly commit. So if you're in that situation, I think a convertible is a good tool. If you're talking to one or two investors who are going to take sort of your entire round, then I think it is usually better to go straight for equity, negotiate the price and kind of be done with it because then you start really building your equity story. You put a stake in the ground as to where the company is from a valuation perspective that you can build on for the future.
Okay, that's rather precise. You just mentioned it's hard to tell, but this is actually a precise way of doing it. Well then, thanks a lot. I think this gives us quite an idea of convertible notes. And thanks for your time. Looking forward to the next episode.
Thank you. Same here.
Hervorragend. Das soll es für den Moment gewesen sein. Ein wie immer spannender Podcast, wie ich finde. Ich hoffe, euch hat es auch Spaß gemacht. Und nicht minder spannend ist der Tipp, den ich am Ende noch für euch habe. Und zwar schaut euch doch mal Book a Tiger an. Die hatten wir auch schon mal im Podcast. Das ist ja eine Plattform für Putzdienstleistungen. Wenn ihr wie ich irgendwie nicht zum Putzen gemacht seid, ihr seid darin schlecht, habt keine Lust drauf oder eure Zeit woanders für verwenden, dann ist Book a Tiger für euch sicherlich interessant. Das könnt ihr auch für eure Firma nehmen. Also auch für Firmenkunden ist es möglich, professionelle Reinigung der Geschäftsräume zu buchen. Inklusive solcher Faktoren wie Getränke, Kaffee, Office Supplies, direkt über Book a Tiger mitzubeziehen. Das Reinigungsequipment ist im Preis enthalten, die Verbrauchsmaterialien. Ihr könnt es am Ende des Monats kündigen. Ihr habt keine langen Vertragslaufzeiten, habt einen eigenen Kundenbereich online und sogar einen professionellen telefonischen Kundenservice. Also das ist wirklich einfach zuverlässig gemacht und sehr, sehr dankbar. Bei uns kommt jetzt irgendwie immer der gute Antonio und reinigt, wo ich sehr, sehr dankbar für bin. Wenn ihr das auch spannend findet, schaut euch doch einfach mal bookatiger.com/business an.